ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. I am Team Ray Sai's Bishu, and today is June 7th, 2018, the academic year of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in Prashanthi Nilayam and in all the campuses, Brindavan, Anandpur and Mudanalli has begun. It's really so heartening to see a new batch of Swami's army. It's like Puttaparthi has again sprung into its full vigor and vitality and dynamism. And taking this opportunity in June, I want to pause the story that we've been having of Mrs. Ratanlal from the last few episodes and start another series which will now go in parallel with Mrs. Ratanlal Amma's story for some time in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And this is the beautiful story of a campus that will be celebrating 50 golden years of its existence 1 year from now in June 2019. Yes, it is the Brindavan campus, the oldest men's campus that Bhagwan established. The Prashanthiyam campus actually came up 10 years later in 1979. And of course, prior to both these men's campuses, Swami set up the Anandpur campus for women just a year before the Brindavan campus in July 1968. So today it is going to be the first episode of Learning with Love in Brindavan. Yes, it is learning with love because Bhagwan teaches us everything only with his unbounded love packed into it. And it is also learning with love because love is another name for Bhagwan. So learning with love has two connotations. Love as a virtue, common noun, and love as a person, the proper noun, that is Bhagwan. So learning with love with Bhagwan, the first part of the series. When Bhagwan inaugurated the Women's College on July 22nd, 1968, Swami said, the prompting behind this college is not the search for reputation or the desire to propagate a cult or the hope of monetary profit. Swami said, fame is a fickle figment. Reputation rots quite soon. Profit, when it is calculated in terms of cash, defiles. Swami said, I have allowed this college to rise because it will install in the minds of the students the ideals of Satya, Dharma, Shanti and Prema. Ideals delineated in the Vedas, described in the Shastras, illustrated in the epics, practiced by countless generations and confirmed by experience as best suited for individual and social progress. Every child born in Bharat has the right to know and benefit from this precious heritage. And then came the beautiful statement from Bhagwan. He said, agriculture is for living. Atma culture is for the success in life. Atma culture is for life. And an educational system that keeps children away from God. Away from God, who is the only refuge, the only kinsman, the only guide and guard, is a system where the blind are engaged in blinding those who long for light. So these were Swami's powerful pronouncements on that really landmark occasion. And this indeed was the precursor. It was setting the stage for what was to follow next year. And on June 9th, 1969, Bhagwan bestowed the privilege of unfurling his first college for men in Brindavan to Sri Virendra Patel, the Chief Minister of Karnataka. If you have been following the episodes that we have been having in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, where we have been doing the story of Mrs. Ratanlal, you will probably recollect how Swami wanted a beautiful library to be set up on the day of the inauguration, you know, and Mrs. Ratanlal and the devotees had to work overnight to do the library and do up the entire new building, and how everything just materialized at the 11th hour, but with perfection that Swami always wanted, because ultimately he was the one who was guiding everything visibly and invisibly. Swami is the one who supervised its every brick, wall, book and classroom. Yes, we will be discussing this more in this series. So on the inauguration day, Sri Virendra Patel said, Baba has come to revive Dharma, to resuscitate Dharma, which is the foundation for the welfare of humanity. Dharma insists on the supremacy of ethical and spiritual values, and a college fostered by Baba is bound to promote these values among the youth. And you also had Dr. V.K. Gokak, who was then the Vice Chancellor of the University of Bangalore, and who later, as many of us know, became the first Vice Chancellor of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learnings. At that point in time, he was in the University of Bangalore. And it is to this university that the Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College of Vrindavan of Bhagwan, which Bhagwan started on June 9th, was affiliated to. And as the Vice Chancellor of the Bangalore University, he welcomed this new college, this new addition, and he said, this is a gem in the crown jewel of the Bangalore University. And he said, it will set the pattern for the college education, not only in the academic field, but also in the ethical and spiritual fields. This is a college conceived, devised and completed by Bhagwan's love, grace and wisdom, brick by brick, plank by plank. Baba has attended to its every detail. It's a lesson for all who seek to do sincere, loving service. He further went on to say, here teachers and students have the unique chance of learning the art of achieving harmony and gaining peace apart from the intellectual attainments which the curriculum enjoins. And after all these speeches came Bhagwan's beautiful discourse on the inauguration day of the college, and Swami so succinctly laid down the philosophy, what he wants to achieve in this college. Swami said, this college will pay attention to providing for its alumni a complete education. And what is a complete education? A complete education, namely, Karma Marga, Dharma Marga and Brahma Marga. A complete education which will have all these three inculcated in the students. Karma Marga, the principles of right action. Dharma Marga, the principles of right social behavior. Brahma Marga, the principles of spiritual advancement. And then addressing the students, Swami said, you may continue in this college or leave and join some other institution later. Maybe after your studies you will move on to some other college, but wherever you are, I desire that you should shine forth as recipients of the special attention that has been bestowed on you. And indeed, Swami did give so much special attention to the students of the Vrindavan College, because it was a time when Swami used to spend 9 months in a year in Vrindavan, and the students had very amazing opportunities of physical proximity of Bhagwan, of watching him at close quarters and learning from him, learning with love, from love. So that is what Bhagwan mentioned on the first day of the college. And Swami also cautioned the boys and said, do not enter the fray of political controversies. Politics at present and perhaps always is a sordid game where passions run high, power is sought through devious ways and prejudices are fanned into hatred. And Swami said, you must become a new type of leader. And what should be the kind of this leader? Swami said, you must become a new type of leader shaped in the crucible of seva, selfless service. And you should march into the future with the light of the past as one who appreciates the wisdom that has been garnered through the ages. And the college started, the college has its own, had its own prospectus. In fact, there was a message that was printed in the prospectus, which was written by Bhagwan himself. And in that Swami had said, this is a divine and blessed land. The tradition of this land is spiritual, but 99% of the people are either ignorant or scornful of anything that bears the label of spirituality. People have themselves devalued their culture. Swami said, correct your own faults and do not search for faults in others. Be respectful and loving to your near and dear ones and to your fellow beings. Serve the country and pray for the welfare of the world. This was the message of Bhagwan in the prospectus. And among the rules for students that were mentioned in the prospectus, one of them said, now that you have earned the privilege of being students of this college, under the direct guidance and fostering care of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, make up your minds to be worthy students, remembering Swami's exhortation, education without character is a great danger. And among the crowd that was there on that day when the inauguration of the college happened, there were many villagers, the rural folk, in Kadigudi and in the Whitefield area, and they were so happy to see that Bhagwan was setting up a college in their area. And Swami then addressed the villagers and said that the culture of India, the culture of mutual cooperation, brotherly love, faith in God, reverence to elders, this is what has been preserved in the villages. And Swami exhorted them to uphold these ideals so that the children, their children, might grow into happy citizens unaffected by the damaging distractions of city life. Apart from the prospectus, which was, as I mentioned, done as per Swami's instructions, there was also an emblem which was selected by Bhagwan for the college, and the emblem was eloquent about the ideals that are being translated into action in the college. It had a 5-petal lotus. Within a circle, the petals represent the 5 major religions of the world. You know, what is there in the Sarvadharma symbol? So that was there as the emblem. But inside the circle, inside the 5 emblems, there was the lotus. And the lotus is very significant. The lotus tells us how, even though it is born out of the mud, it is untouched by the mud. It is unsoiled by the water through which it emerges and upon which it floats. So the lotus is symbolic of peace, beauty, detachment, auspiciousness. And inside this lotus is the flame of illumination, without which knowledge is a burden and life an arid encounter with the flimsy urges of the senses. So this is what was there in the emblem. And there was one more thing. Overarching this circular emblem, there was a semicircular border along which was printed the college's motto. And the motto which was mentioned in this emblem was Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha Satyam Nasti Paro Dharma. Dharma guards those who adhere to it, and there is no dharma higher than truth. When dharma ceases to inspire and transform individuals, the world will inevitably be afflicted by agony and fear. You know, this is the very core of Vedic teaching. In fact, when Bhagwan started the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, he had the similar Vedic dictum, Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara, in the institute emblem. So it was very clear. Bhagwan has often declared that Atma Vidya alone can fix the mind on dharma. And to set in motion, to impart this precious knowledge of Atma Vidya, Swami, in fact, even before he started the Vrindavan College or the Anandpur College, he started an institution only for this. And that was the Veda Pathshala, the Sri Satya Sai Veda Shastra Pathshala. And this happened 7 years before he set up the college in Vrindavan, in 1962. And that shows the primacy that Swami was giving to the knowledge of the self, to Atma Vidya. It is so evident. The Veda Pathshala, in fact, is the foundation for all the educational institutions that Bhagwan established in the later years. In fact, that is the education that is closest to Bhagwan's heart, that Swami wanted to seriously inculcate in all young minds. And in the later years, what Swami did is perhaps he added the secular component into it when he started the colleges, but it was always first spiritual education and later secular education. And the way the Veda Pathshala came into being is also a very interesting story. In fact, in the 50s and early 60s, Swami toured a lot through the length and breadth of India, and Bhagwan was likely to visit the East Godavari districts in the early 60s. And the devotees from there who are making the arrangements asked Swami if they could have a yajna as part of the, as one of the functions that Swami could attend when he visited that area. And when Bhagwan heard this, Swami said, why do you want to do the yajnam there? Let's do it in Puttaparthi itself. Let's do it in Prashantinilam. And let's do it during the Dasara celebrations when thousands from all over India will have the thrill of witnessing it. But the devotees there said, Swami, all the priests for the yajnam are from the Konaseema area, which means the delta area of Andhra Pradesh. And when Swami heard that, he said, my Seema is not Konaseema. My Seema is Veda Seema. Seema means area. Swami said, my area is not limited to just Konaseema, not just to that geographical location. My area is Veda Seema. All the areas where Vedas are revered belong to me. They are all my areas. And so there were Vedic pandits who came not only from that area but from all over India. And the first Dasara Yajnam happened in Prashantinilam, and Swami named this Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna. It's interesting that Swami called it Jnana Yajnam. It is a sacrifice for wisdom. The focus always was on the knowledge. Even though the rituals were happening, the goal was the spiritual knowledge that Swami wanted to impart. In fact, Swami had very learned Vedic scholars and speakers share their wisdom in those 7 days. And of course, to top it all, you had Swami's beautiful expositions on the significance of the Vedic injunctions. And he did it in a manner that left all the scholars who had come, who were really pundits and who had so many accolades against the name, they were all stunned when they heard the interpretation that Swami was giving of the scriptures. In fact, on the penultimate day of the yajna, Swami said, tomorrow, when the valedictory offering is poured into the sacrificial fire, I want each one of you to resolve with your will that you are pouring into the flames all the evil in you, all the egoism and the degrading attachments, all the habits that drag you down. And then he made another spectacular announcement. Tomorrow, at the moment of valedictory offering, you will be given the darshan of the Yajna Purusha, the person who accepts the Yajna. And true to the promise, Swami ascended the Yajna Vedi, the sacrificial altar, that stage at that very moment, and he granted darshan to thousands of villagers who ecstatically acclaimed him as the person who accepts the offerings of the Yajna, the Veda Purusha. And then Swami said, you may ask why pundits and Vedic scholars are passing through such hard times. Many of them are hungry and some of them are homeless and so on. And there are many, and in these days no one comes forward to join Vedic schools. And Swami said, I'll tell you why. This has happened because people have lost faith in the Vedas. Swami said, let them be fixed in that faith. Let them be fixed in the faith of the Vedas. Then Veda will make them happy. In fact, Swami said, if the Veda cannot make a man happy, what else can? Really something for us to ruminate upon. If the Vedas cannot make a man happy, what else can? Because all the secrets of human happiness, secrets of human learning, secrets of uncovering all the bliss that is there within us is there in the Vedas. And then Swami exhorted all the devotees to support those who are propagating Vedic knowledge and said, look at the regimen of the restrictions and regulations, the hundreds of do's and don'ts, limiting the freedom of life and limb of these Brahmins who have imposed on themselves these restrictions to promote the good of society, for the good of the world, for everyone's spiritual upliftment. There are hard limitations on daily conduct, social contact and economic effort. And Swami said it requires great courage, determination and faith to hold these rules vital and put them into practice. Honor those who have faith in that ideal. He was asking all the devotees to support and honor those who were in the mission of spreading and disseminating the knowledge of the Vedas. Swami said, their adherence to those ideals has been of tremendous value to India and the world, for it has preserved the only culture that can save mankind. Swami is very clear, unambiguous. This is the only culture that can save mankind. In fact, Professor Kasturi, Bhagwan's biographer, writes in Satyam Shivam Sundaram that this was no ordinary yajna that Swami presided over. It was a revival, it was a revelation, it was a revolution, it was a resurgence. It was a symbol of cultural renaissance. For Bhagwan explained that the Vedas are essentially for all time and for all mankind. And sacrifice or the yajna is the sign and secret of life. Sacrifice indeed is the secret of life. And it was on this day again that Swami out of the blue announced that he is himself going to start the Veda Pathshala. So this is the story of how the Veda Pathshala happened. The yajnam happened, Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajna. And on the concluding day of the yajnam, Swami suddenly announces that he himself is going to start a Vedic school and he will himself teach and train, guide and culture the minds and attitudes of young children. And Swami announced that we will start this from birthday that year. And 45 days later, on the auspicious occasion of his birthday, 1962, November 23rd, thousands had gathered to celebrate the occasion of being with Bhagwan on this auspicious day, and Swami on this occasion invited the incomparable Uppaluri Ganapati Shastri, a very, very esteemed Vedic scholar, to inaugurate the Sri Satya Sai Veda Shastra Pathashala, the Academy for Vedic and Sanskrit Study in Prashanti Nilayam. And on that occasion, Swami said, the Vedas are in need of revival. We have to prevent the goats from nibbling at the sprouts. I have come for the sake of this Dharma Sthapana, for establishment of this righteousness. Vedo Khilo Dharma Moolam. The Vedas are the root of Dharma. Vedic scholars have to grow in numbers for the sake of the promotion of Dharma. As long as Vedic scholars are produced and honored, so long the Vedas will remain green in the hearts of man. And this is real Dharma Sansthapana. Swami said, the Lord comes down for the revival of righteousness. And Swami says, the revival of righteousness cannot happen unless the Vedas come back into our consciousness. And Swami said, my task is to open your eyes to the glory of the Vedas and to convince you that Vedic injunctions, when put into practice, will yield the promised results. As Swami said, all the happiness of the world that you want is there in the Vedas. Swami said, so this is, his task is to convince us to follow the injunctions of the Vedas. Then we will experience what is promised in the Vedas. And Swami said, my prema towards the Vedas is matched only by my prema towards humanity. And then he looked at that first batch of boys seated there, joining the Veda Pathshala. And Swami said, these boys will grow into strong, stalwart pillars of Sanatana Dharma. They will be the guides and leaders of this holy land in the days to come. They will save it from the vain follies and wild passions. And looking at the parents, Swami said, all of you have a reason to be happy, because all these boys will become lucent gems spreading Vedic splendor and Shastric light. I will take care of them more lovingly than any mother can. And that is what happened in such a beautiful, dramatic manner. Swami started the Vedic school, the Veda Pathshala, and one of the students, lucky students of the Veda Pathshala, is Mr. Ramesh Kasturi, the grandson of late Professor Kasturi, Bhagwan's biographer. And at that point in time, you know, as a boy of 9 or 10, he was studying 5th class, he was in Bangalore. And he was not enjoying being in Bangalore because there was a lot of water woes, and he had to struggle there to every day stand in the water queues for 5 to 6 hours, and he loved to be in Prati, loved the love that Bhagwan was showering on him. And when Swami announced that he's going to start a Vedic school, he jumped at the idea. He wanted to be part of it, and Swami did give him that opportunity. He was one of the 21 students that Swami personally handpicked to be part of Sri Satya Sai Veda Shastra Pathashala in 1962. In fact, this happened in November, and Swami performed the Upanayanam, the thread ceremony of all these boys, in February, two months down the line, and Swami himself chanted the Gayatri Mantra into their ears and even gave a special mantra to all the boys, and he did it personally for every student. He had every boy on his lap and initiated them into the Gayatri Mantra. And Swami said that I will love you more than any mother can. He did what even a million mothers will not be able to give us. That is the love that Swami gave to these students. In fact, Mr. Ramesh Kasturi, whenever he recalls those moments, there's only tears streaming down his cheeks. We had the chance to talk to him recently and ask him to share how was it being the first batch of Veda Pathshala students. And he started narrating about their routine in those days, how it was from morning till night. It was like a Gurukulam. Swami was bringing back the ancient system of Gurukulam in the modern age, because the ancient values have to be brought back. Let me now play for you one clip where Sri Ramesh Kasturi talks about their daily schedule. Here it is.
So we are all ready at 4 o'clock, got up. And what is the next? To have a shower of the body and wash the body and smear vibhuti on our foreheads and all the important part of the body, the belly and then the shoulders and the chest, and they're all properly smeared with vibhuti. We were ready to... In the beginning there was no separation of the spiritual life and the academic life. It was not there. It was both going together, and one is supporting the other. So at 4 o'clock we got up, and 4:30 or 5 o'clock we were all ready to have a shower. Before we had the vibhuti, we had to wash the body. So Puttaparthi of those days had no bathrooms or toilets. It was not there. We had a big well in the gate of the Ganesha gate in the front. And we were to rush there and pull the water and shower our body. But later on, we were instructed to go to Chitravati, and the little water which was flowing, beautifully it was flowing, so we had to have the Chitravati water. So slowly the discipline also getting into our life, so we went to Chitravati in line, and we had a dip in Chitravati river. It was not a big river like Ganga, but it was a very, very, very sweet water flow. And we had our dips. There was no rush, nothing. Okay, we had a beautiful dip in the water and washed our body. And by the time, the eastern sun was slowly coming up. So we had the blessings of receiving the hot sun rays on our body. Body was itself was drying up. There was no need of use the towel to remove the wetness, but just walk around and then your body is ready. Very important experience that we are part of the universe. There was no need of a soap, or there is no need of a towel, there is no need of... But imagine back in that life and that time, and Swami is there very much. The eastern sun also told us that Swami is there inside the mandir. Go back to him. Don't spend your time in the happiness of the having the wash. But you are part of Swami. You have to go back to him and then darshan, having darshan. Bathroom was not there, so we entire stretch of the river, Each of us, we had our bath within 5 minutes, dipped and got up, and then we had our vibhuti, and then we have smeared on our body, and again we were lining up and going to the ashram gate. There was no gate at the time, but we went to Ganesha, and slowly we were transformed into the chanting of the Rudram. While we were going back, after the bath, when we were going back from Chitravati to Mandir, so we were asked as a discipline to chant Rudram, Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraja. In the line, about 100 young children, we were all chanting this Rudram. And when we reached Ganesh Gate, so we were going back to our the rooms in the hall, in the Vera Patshala, but Swami instructed us to go around the Mandir and chant the Rudram. So we came up to Ganesha, and then we went around and chanting Rudram, and we were very much knew that Swami is listening to us. So our prayers were received by Swami in a physical way, also in a spiritual way, and Swami was very happy. We know that although he was not seen by us, that he is very much hearing us. So this one round of pradakshina, chanting mantra, it is connected with Swami. So we went the entire big round of ashram, and we came back to our Vera Patshala. That is the one of the most cherishable experience that I cannot forget in my life. But then Swami said, why don't you sing bhajans also? So he chose some of the boys and asked them to sing properly. And the next, after Vera Parayanam, in the Nagar Sankirtan Vera Parayanam, the next round of boys, they started singing bhajans. And I don't need to explain much about the joy of the bhajans, but it was clapping and singing and going around the mandir and coming back to Vera Patshala. Meanwhile, whole ashram was thrilled. About 200, 300 families here, and they were all lining up to watch us singing and chanting, and it was a very, very, very auspicious experience for these residents of Puttaparthi, who were all already much older, around 60 or 70. They were all welcoming golden age and Swami's presence, and most of them we have lined up to see us chanting mantras and bhajans. It was my personal experience. I could see my grandmother. I was very happy. As grandmothers, they already had a spiritual life in the beginning, but now it is really, really visible that what they expected as children, now it is happening in front of Swami. So, it was a very unique experience. I cannot forget. We came back to Vera Patshala premises, our small rooms and things like that. And next thing is to participate in the daily core. The daily core was the chopping the wood for the food, bringing the water from the well to our hostel, and collecting the vegetables from the wherever the supply was there, and bringing them and cleaning up the vegetables, and clean up the groceries and things like that. It was about half an hour's work. About 100 boys we were divided to do the different course and things like that. We were drawing water from the well and filling up the stock in the Vera Patshala kitchen. And it was also a unique experience that we were not waiting for that someone will bring the water, the tap will bring the water. It was not there. We were participating in life, a spiritual life, and seeking blessings of Swami for every activity what we are doing. So about half an hour, the daily core started beginning like this, and it was around 7 o'clock. We were all dressed up again properly to go and see Swami's darshan in front of the mandir. We were also waiting for Swami to come on a balcony, and he is visible for about 5 minutes, and sending his grace to each and every one and bless them all. And it was a unique experience I will never forget in my life. For this one darshan has brought a lot of blessings. If we miss, that day is gone. It was that kind of feeling was there. And Swami went back into his room. As soon as that, we were all talking. Did you have darshan? Did you have darshan? Did you have darshan? Did you have darshan? And it is a darshan of Swami in the morning at 7 o'clock. One experience, personal experience, in the eastern sky the sun used to come up, and here in the mandir, Swami used to come out. So we could not shift our head to Swami or the sun. It was like a unique orange darshan. Swami was sending his orange to the sun, and sun was sharing his sun his orange with Swami. So many of us, we had this experience of watching Swami west and looking at the east, the orange has come. The orange magic. And now Swami is blessed, and then it was also a sign that we can go back and then have our breakfast and come back, come to bhajan for 8 o'clock, or sometimes it is 9 o'clock. So we rest, where partial students also, we rest along with the devotees. We had our morning breakfast, and before breakfast, for us where partial students, we had to chant. And the chanting was Bhagavad Gita 12th Vishwarupa Sandarshana Yuga. That was our morning prayer, and it was a unique experience. And the food was prepared in the kitchen. Some of our boys were there, so they were helping the kitchen workers. Most of them were old people at the time. The Brahmin people were very, very holy in their attitude, and the breakfast was served, and we had our breakfast. The rice varieties mostly, and finished everything by 8 o'clock. We were all attending to the bells of the sounds of the morning classes. Okay, we were lined up in a disciplined way, and the attendance was called, and then attendance was given, made in Sanskrit language, and everyone was responding to the attendance, saying that I am here, I am here, I am here. Aham bho abhivadaye, aham bho abhivadaye, aham bho abhivadaye, that I am ready to receive the blessings. That was the answer for the calls of the attendants. And it was a unique experience. And the prayer was the familiar, all of you know that, with the mudakaratta modakam sadavimukti sadhakam karavalavatam vilasiloka rakshakam. This pancharatna of the Ganesha was our prayer, and properly recited, and many other shlokas. Pratasmarami Shivasai Mukharavindam Karnanta Dirghanayana Dvitayabhiramam Bimbadhara Dyuti Virajita Mandahasam Susnigdhanila Kutilalaka Bhasamanam. The entire Pancharatna was attributed to Swami, and Swami was really received in our life in this prayer. Pratah karomi hrudi manasikarchanam te hrutkalpita sraganu lepa phalaprasunaihi svikrutya matkurta yathochita sandhya pujam sri satyasai kurumam krupayakrutartam. This pancharatna was rendered by Sri Tirumalacharya from Nellur, who was a very famous pandit and devotee of Swami, and he was also the author of the Satyam Samsonsuram in Telugu language. And we had this joy of reciting very powerful prayer to Swami. The Sri Yutakarinam Yogi Yogishwaram Bhakta Rakshakaram Bhavya Santarakam Parti Samvasinam Papa Samsoshakam Sadhu Samsevitam Sainatham Bhade Satya Sri Sai Namatam Sakala Gunagananga Kalpa Kanto Jivalangam Nityanandam Mahantam Niratishaya Mahananda Sandhana Daksham Yat Yaradhyam Yatisham Yama Niyama Samadhyadi Yoganga Yuktam Shantam Dantam Nitantam Sakala Sujanata Kantam Ekantam Ede. We were all praying in this prayer that Swami give us the private interview or the private talk with you, so that we can pray to you from our depths of the heart. This was a unique opportunity, although we were not knowing the meaning at that time. But as I am growing, I feel back what I have asked for Swami. And this was done for all the 14 years I stayed in Veda Pathshala time. Every day morning, this was the prayer. And the prayer was over, and we were ready to join our classes. Morning, up to 4 to 5 hours, we were all chanting mantras. In the evening, after lunch, after rest, we were participating in the learning of the Sanskrit language with all the books of Raghuvamsa, Kalidasa, Megha Sandesha, and Abhijnana Shakuntala. These are all literary form of the Sanskrit language, and each of them, they are full of wisdom. It was not a storytelling, but they were all telling the life of the past. My first shloka in the afternoon session when I was learning is Vagartha viva sampruktav Vagartha pratipattaye Jagatav pitarav vande Parvati parameshrav. Every word in the world has a meaning. Every meaningful word has a word. So Shiva is the word and the meaning is the Shiva, Shakti. So Vagartha means Shiva and Shakti viva sampruktav. They cannot be separated. When you say a word, there is already meaning. So these kind of thoughts were given, especially with Raghuvamsa and Megha Sandesha. And none of them, they were wasting their time or expressions, inculcating the spiritual value into the human beings for the life. I could understand this at the time itself because Swami was there for us. We could not separate Swami from our life. Every rendering of this kind of Sanskrit literature was talking about Swami, talking about God.
So that was Mr. Ramesh Kasturi, and he said we could not separate Swami from our life, and that's what happens in Bhagwan's educational institutions. And in fact, anyone who has joined Bhagwan's schools or colleges, and later on in the Vrindavan campus, Prashantilam campus or Anandpur campus, they cannot separate Bhagwan from their lives. And the other thing that you would have noticed is, you know, the Gurukula system of education was coming back, you know, just like in the earlier times, students, when they used to stay with the Guru and the Guruma, they used to do all the chores in the ashram, you know, cutting the wood, helping the Guruma in maintaining the ashram, cleaning. So all these activities were done by these students also. It was basically recreation of that philosophy of education along with its features to the extent possible. And then you had the bells and the breakfast, the prayers and the bhajan. So that is how the Nagar Sankirtan started. It was these boys who first started the Nagar Sankirtan, the tradition of Nagar Sankirtan in Prashantinilayam, and the tradition of, you know, doing bhajan. So all these started, you know, with this bright 21 young students, which later on became 100. And so you had different boys doing different self-reliance activities. And that is what happens in the hostel also. Even later on, when you see how the hostel routine is in once Swami started the colleges and the campuses, it was basically an adaptation of this. It was an extension of what started in the Veda Pathshala. In fact, it was these students who first chanted Suprabhatam in Prashantinilayam. Let us hear that story.
I was reminded now, till 1962, Shivaratri day, there was no Suprabhatam chanting or rendering in the ashram. But when we came to Puttaparthi, when we joined the Veda Pathshala, the first activity was, we were disciplined to rise at 4 o'clock, but we are also trained to chant Suprabhatam. It is created by Mr. Tirumalachari as a pandit and very spiritual pandit, and he brought this Suprabhatam shlokas, and we were taught how to render the Suprabhatam. Veenamma was there, the very famous musician and also veena player, and she was asked to teach us the rendering of the Suprabhatam. This Suprabhatam is in the line of Venkateshwara Suprabhatam, Kausalya Suprajarama, but the same thing was made by this Pandit Swamiji, the Tirumalachari, Ishwaram Vasuta Sriman, Purva Sandhya Pravartate, Uttishta Satya Sahisha, Kartavyam Daiva Manhikam. And these few slokas were taught to us by this Venama, and she took perhaps about a week to exactly chant properly, and then all this, all the words and sounds she was teaching us so that Swami will be happy. Now we are waking up Swami. It is not a photo or it is not the idol in front of us. We were really waking up Swami. Now, Swami took the chance to teach us. Sometimes he called in the afternoon at 2 o'clock and he was standing there in the mandir in front of the simhasan and he was teaching us how to chant the Suprabhatam. The one interesting thing I would like to share with you that Swami said, it is like a aeroplane coming on the sky. From the distance you won't hear anything. As it nears and nears and nears, your sound is heard. And again, it is going back. So starting from the silence and making the proper noise and then sending the sound away, Swami gave this example of Ishwaram Vasuta Sriman Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishtha Satyasa Gisha Kartavyam Daivamanhikam. It is a very, very sweet rendering of Swami. I cannot forget. Not to rush and not to be very slow. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan. Swami wants a pause there. It is not Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan Tava Suprabhatam. He wants a beautiful pause because we are requesting Swami to get up. Sri Satya Sai Bhagavan Tava Suprabhatam. He must have taught us at least about 100 times. What a perfection of rendering. The teaching was finished by Shivratri 1963 and Swami said, come into the hall and start praying there. So we were all enjoying that precious moment to go into the hall and sitting in front of the Simhasan, and Swami also came. So we were chanting Suprabhatam in front of Swami to his satisfaction and his happiness. Now the Suprabhatam was not an ordinary prayer. We are awakening our own divine in our hearts and we have the outward form of Swami and it has to be internalized and we are awakening the divine in our heart. And Swami is divine form itself. He is waiting on the doors to come into our heart.
So that is how Suprabhatam began. And Suprabhatam is such an integral part of the student's routine in the Satya Sai hostels. And we also heard how Swami he painstakingly taught them how to chant this, sing this 100 times. I mean, This is the amount of time that Swami has spent with the students, and this happened in the later on in the years too, when Swami always gave a lion's share of his time to the students. And the other interesting thing that happened in the Veda Parshala is in the initial years there were no tests and exams, but after a couple of years Swami wanted tests for all the students. In fact, when the Vrindavan College started, one of the things that was mentioned in the prospectus was the college attaches great importance to studies. And so there will be weekly and monthly tests and quarterly examinations and the progress reports will be sent to the parents periodically. This is what was mentioned in the prospectus and this is what Swami wanted here also. And how the first test went about, that's what Ramesh Kasturi sir recollected, and that's also a very interesting story. Let's hear to that.
In the beginning, about 2 years, there was no academic curricular for us, and slowly we were all introduced to the academic curriculars. That means 9 months of study, and the 10th month we have to face the examination. And a private ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్, దక్షిణ భారత సంస్కృత ప్రచారణి సభ ఓవర్ కండక్టింగ్ ది సంస్కృత్ ఎగ్జామినేషన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ చిత్. ఇట్ వాస్ 5 ఎగ్జామినేషన్స్ ఇయర్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఇయర్ అండ్ ది కల్మినేటింగ్ ఇన్ టు సంస్కృత కోవిద. దట్ మీన్స్ హీ ఈస్ ది పండిట్ ఆఫ్ ది సంస్కృత్. ఇట్ వాస్ నాట్ అ వెరీ హైలీ ప్లేస్డ్ ఎగ్జామినేషన్స్ బట్ it was inculcating the study the book and sanskrit not Vedas. So Swami introduced this to us so that we will become a routine learners. And the first examination during the February 1965, and Swami was so happy. So we were asked to come to the examination hall, one of those bigger buildings in the ashram, and sit on the floor, and Swami gave us the pen for each and every one. We were nearly 100 of them, 100 of us. He gave a pen for us, fountain pen, ink pen, and Swami gave the forms. He himself gave the forms that we have to put our name and number and things like that, and the papers, about six sheets of them. And we had that paper holding with clip. And Swami gave padamaskaram for everyone. He also patted our shoulders, saying, do it properly. Do put concentration on that. It was a very, very blessing. But Swami is touching our paper and pen. That feeling was it was there at the time. And we were assured that we are going to pass. There was no examination fears were not there. Swami is giving the paper and pen and everything. We were assured that we are going to pass through. So Swami was there going through all the candidates. Of course we were seated about 2 feet at the distance, each and everything, so that we will not copy. And Swami came and he was looking at us. It was his. And he said, concentrate and do it. Encouraging us and correcting us. So examination was over. About one paper only, not much. About 2 hours of paper. And it was all finished and Swami was there. And Swami was inquiring, did you do it properly? Did you write it properly? Did you skip anything? And there was no time for correction. But this chance of speaking to Swami has put us into thrill. Then after about a month, the results came. We had two feelings. One, if I fail, what Swami will do? If I pass, what Swami will do? It was a very strong feelings. I can still remember that. And the results came. Swami brought the result sheets. And he was announcing. And luckily for me, with Swami's blessing, I stood first with all the numbers, about 99 numbers, okay. And the rest of them were also 98, 97, small errors and things like that. But the whole batch of 100 students, we stood first, first class pass. And about 75% is the average mark, and 99% is the highest mark, 98, 97, 93. Swami was happy. We were really happy. For some of us, he gave rings. For some of us, he gave vibhuti. And he said, you have done a very well job. I still remember these words of Swami. And Swami was also telling, we will prepare for the next examination. First was called Parichaya, and the second was called Abhijna. So this was the Swami's miracle, I can say, Swami's blessings, I can say. In the Dasara time, we were asked to sit close to Swami in the hall. Not a Purnachandra hall, but similar hall was there. And now Swami was announcing to the public, I am very happy. The mission has begun. Our students have stood first. They stood first in the examination. This is an examination covering the entire South India. Not just the classroom study, but it was nearly about 5,000 students. They have participated in the examination. And our college, our school, Verapachala school, came first, securing so many marks. And Swami said, as a blessing to me, Ramesh stood first in this examination. But thundering claps were there. And Swami was very happy. He said very soon they will be going to the next examination. And it was covered by claps, thundering claps and claps and claps. Just remember that there was no college, there was no school in Puttaparthi. This was a first attempt of learning languages and learning the Sanskrit language. And they were all happy, and the ashram was happy. Devotees were happy, and they were everyone telling Swami's blessings, Swami's blessings, Swami's blessings. This word blessings has become familiar from that time, that there is someone who gives blessings. And this was my thrilling moments, not only me, for all the students, that we were also trying to understand, this is Swami who made us to be passed through the examination. None of us had that big hope that we will be passing examination with first class rending. We were not having that. But this was like a shower of grace. I can feel that moment. So now we are introduced to a world of examinations and qualifications, and we had certificate in our hands, and we were saying that very soon we will be qualifying the further examinations.
So that is the story of the first examination that happened for Swami's students, and Swami himself was the invigilator. In fact, this reminds me of how when the 10th class and the 12th class boys go to Bhagwan before the examinations, and Swami always used to bless their pens and personally give the hall tickets and so on. And when the results would be out, Swami would be so excited to announce the results. In fact, I remember one occasion Swami was so happy for the student who got 100 out of 100 in Sanskrit. He created a ring in front of everyone during the summer course discourse session. I mean, there were so many such beautiful moments just to show how Swami was so particular about all these different practices that are followed now. And the foundation for everything was in the Veda Pathashala, right from self-reliance to Suprabhatam to prayers to dramas to academic excellence to steadfast discipline. In fact, that is the time when Swami himself wrote 14 dramas, and the students of Veda Pathashala used to stage them year after year. It started with Markandeya drama, and then Sakubai, Radha Krishna, and so on. So that all the cultural activities, all the self-reliance activities, all the routine that the students are following for everything, the basis was the Veda Pathashala. And the most important thing, the knowledge that Swami wanted to impart to all the students, the basis of that knowledge, the foundation of that knowledge, the systematic arrangement of offering that knowledge started during the Veda Pathashala. And later on, you know, it became the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In a sense, the Vedic learning moved into a new gear. It acquired a new momentum with now not only the students of Bhagwan's University, but the entire Satya Sai organization everywhere chanting the Vedas. So this is sort of the way the Vrindavan campus started. The background to the Vrindavan campus, which started in June 1969, was the Veda Pathashala. So I just give you a very brief overview of how it was in the Veda Pathashala, and then how Swami started the Vrindavan campus in June 1969 with the Chief Minister of Karnataka coming and inaugurating. So in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we will have one episode every month on recounting the shaping of the Vrindavan campus, how Swami was inculcating all these precious values, Satyam, Vada, Dharmam, Chara, in the students. And we will do one episode every month. We'll have some very, very lively panel discussions with very senior alumni of the Vrindavan campus in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us on this first episode of Learning with Love in Vrindavan. If you have any queries, comments, please feel free, as always, to share your thoughts. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sairam.